Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are The Isolate Thief, Night Nurse, and Inside the Trustor Scandal.
I'd like to start off by talking about a Western. We don't get all that many of those nowadays. Once upon a time, back when I was a kid, around the 50s and 60s, Westerns were the most popular of all genres. And, they've been in decline for a very, very long time. But every once in a while, one comes along. And I have to say, The Isolate Thief, which is a very odd title, which is never really explained why it's called that instead of, say, The Isolated Thief. It's not a bad example of the Western, but it falls under a couple of other categories as well. It's what sometimes can be called an ordeal movie, which is where a character just goes through some kind of a horrible experience at feature length. And that very much happens in this movie with the main character, who is a young woman who is beset by very, very bad guys in an isolated house in the middle of nowhere. And I have to say, the movie reminded me so much of the old Sam Peckinpah movie Straw Dogs from the early 1970s, where you have a house and where you have bad people attacking the house, and where you have a hero, or in this case, a heroine, trying very, very hard to fend off danger and win the fight anyway. The Isolate Thief is all of those various things. And again, it's not a bad movie if you don't mind a whole lot of mayhem. So what we have here is basically some sort of a little army outpost in the middle of nowhere in the Pacific Northwest, very isolated. Apparently, we're near the end of the Civil War. And we have a young woman, basically a teenager, and her name is Ada. And she is played by Mackenzie Foy. And her father just recently died and she buried him. So she's there alone. So you have this adolescent and she's alone and she's going to take a journey. She's going to get to some places where are some other people. And she hoping to get to San Francisco, where her mother died and where she thinks she might have some family members who could look after her. So we have Ada looking after her little outpost for a while at the beginning of the movie. And then this old, old man shows up. His name is Perry. He's played by Joe Pantoliano. He is just very mysterious. He's very eccentric. He's very ancient. He's very weird. And it turns out he has a whole lot of gold on him. So then a bunch of other people show up. A bunch of Union soldiers wearing their blue uniforms, maybe fighting on the side of the North in the Civil War. And the leader of them is a guy who is known as Fiddler, Fiddler John. He is played by Sean Bean. And he's got a few other men, just a few with him, and they just need a place to stay. And he seems very polite and he seems very nice. And he's very grateful to Ada for putting them up and fixing them some food and allowing that they can sleep there and stuff like that. However, it turns out as the movie goes along that Fiddler John and his men are not what they seem. It turns out that they are very, very bad people. And I'll reveal a little bit here. It turns out that they actually killed the soldiers who originally wore those uniforms. They are very, very bad people. And now they are in Ada's little house. And she doesn't know what to do about it. And that is when things really start to go bad. They want the gold. They know that that old man showed up there. They know the gold's got to be around somewhere and they're going to get it. Then they also have another young woman with them. Her name is Emily. And she apparently is a former prostitute and they are using her as a prostitute. And so these are very, very evil people. So the whole latter part of the movie turns into the mayhem that I mentioned earlier. We have a whole lot of shooting and stabbing and running around the little house and looking for shelter and trying to kill somebody before they kill you and that sort of thing. And it's basically Ada against these men. So that is why I called it an ordeal movie. The movie, especially in its second half, is really all about Ada and all about her fight and her attempt to get rid of these guys and somehow preserve her life. And then she, of course, ends up allied with the other young woman, Emily. And I certainly won't reveal how the whole thing turns out. So the movie was directed by John Suits, who is mainly a TV and commercial director. And he does a reasonably good job. It's a movie with a lot of action in it. Again, the action takes place almost entirely in a very small area of space, the house, and the very, very surrounding ground. So there's not a whole lot of variety to it visually, and John Suits keeps it reasonably watchable. The acting is really quite good, I have to say. Everybody certainly seemed plausible to me. Sean Bean is very good as Fiddler John, whose last name, ironically, is Good. Mackenzie Foy is very good as Ada. It's a very, very difficult part, and she does a good job with it. And the other men are reasonably well played by other actors. So, again, The Isolate Thief is a rare example of a Western. It is an all too common example of an ordeal movie, and it's basically a movie with a whole lot of mayhem in it. If you want a suspenseful movie with a whole lot of violence, then you might go for The Isolate Thief. Otherwise, you can easily skip it. It's not one of the movies of the year. Now, a movie which is a suspense movie, which does not have a whole lot of mayhem in it. In fact, it's quite a different kind of film, and it is called Night Nurse. Very generic sort of title, I must say. And that's one of the least original things about the movie. I will say right now my bottom line about Night Nurse, which, by the way, was directed by Georgia Bernstein, who also wrote it and produced it. It is a very, very stylish movie. It looks really good. It has wonderful music in it, sort of jazzy music. I really like the music a lot. And it has a good look to it. It's very, very much an art film. Has all these sort of atmospheric visuals, very moody visuals all the time. Unfortunately, the story is idiotic. So we have a really stupid story stylishly told. So that's my bottom line about Night Nurse. So here's what it's about. Yes, it's about a night nurse. It takes place in a very posh, luxurious elder care facility where the senior citizens who live there and are looked after by the nurses and so forth, where they have their own villas. Now, if they actually go into dementia, then they move to the big house, which is a real memory care facility. But mainly they have their own villas. That's where they live. And that is where one of our two main characters lives. His name is Douglas. Then we have his two nurses. One of them is named Mona. She's been looking after him for a while. And then another one whose name is Eleni. And she has just started to work at this facility. And she has put the other nurse in charge of Douglas. So she's looking after him. And it turns out that Douglas is a very strange character. He's an old guy. It's not clear whether he has some sort of slight dementia or something like that. He may or he may just be faking it, or maybe not even that. Maybe he's just an eccentric sort of a weirdo sort of a guy. In any case, we have Eleni and the older nurse, Mona, looking after him. And it turns out he is a real, genuine scam artist. What he does is he entices Eleni into a scheme, which is that she will phone up some senior citizen out there in the world and claim to be that senior citizen's granddaughter and say she's in desperate trouble and she needs some money. And her attorney will phone right away to arrange the details. Then Douglas gets on the phone, pretending to be an attorney, and he arranges for this other senior citizen to transfer a whole bunch of money. It's not clear exactly how this works, but it's definitely a financial scam aimed at vulnerable senior citizens. So, one of the big problems I had with Night Nurse as a movie, and one of the reasons I said the story was idiotic, is that very often we have Eleni on the phone with one of these senior citizens who is being scammed, and we have Douglas simply delivering her lines to her right there while she's on the phone. I mean, how is this plausible? How are the people on the other end of the line not hearing this? And if they're too old or creaky or demented to be able to understand or get this, then how in the world are they going to manage to do something like transfer money? So anyway, the story doesn't make any sense at all. And we have the unfolding of the scam. We also have, by the way, the one really well-known actor who was in the movie, who is Mimi Rogers, who plays the woman who's in charge of this facility. We have her kind of figuring out a little bit what's going on, but being pretty much in the dark about it all. And we have Douglas enticing a bunch of other nurses into the same scam. So that's what Night Nurse is about. It's about one night nurse. It's about a whole bunch of night nurses. It's about a real financial scam and an awful financial scam. And again, I got to emphasize one more time, the movie is just beautiful to look at. Moody, atmospheric visuals, gorgeously photographed. We also have a very dreamy sort of an atmosphere, which I liked a lot. And the music is just terrific. Again, I'm going to use these words once more, moody, atmospheric. Everything about Night Nurse is good, including the acting, very good acting, except for the story, which really doesn't make sense. So a little bit of credit here to the performances. Semray Paksoy is very, very fine as Elena. Bruce McKenzie, in a way, steals the movie as Douglas. Eleanor Hendricks plays Mona very well. I mentioned Mimi Rogers. She's pretty much always good. And it's an interesting thing that we have a new director, Georgia Bernstein, here in her feature film debut, making a movie which is, I'll say it one more time, very, very well made, beautifully made, in fact. But what a silly story. I didn't believe it for a moment. So let's stay on the theme of financial scams for one more movie. And this is another financial scam movie, and it is way more complicated than the one I just described. It's a documentary. It's on Netflix. It's called Inside the Trustor Scandal, and it is about a financial scam that took place in Sweden. And it's a very, this is a documentary, so this is all real stuff here. And it's really complicated. And if you don't speak Swedish and you are watching Inside the Trustor Scandal, you are going to be doing a whole lot of reading. People talk fast. There's a whole lot of dialogue subtitles at the bottom. And then the screen very often fills with headlines and newspaper articles. And then they get translated in subtitles too. There's a lot of subtitles to juggle. That said, it's worth it because the movie is really interesting. So, what the Trustor scandal was, it took place in the middle to late 90s in Sweden. And there was a guy, one man who was behind the whole thing. His name was Joachim Posner. And he hit upon this terrific idea of using a company's own money to acquire that company and take control of it, and then acquire other companies and build a financial empire. So he tried this. He tried this earlier in the 90s, and everything went completely sour on him. And he ended up serving a prison sentence, and it was horrifying for him. He couldn't stand it. He almost died. It was just the most horrifying thing ever. So what did he do when he got out of prison after this traumatic prison stretch? He decided to try the whole thing again, but this time he would make sure he didn't technically violate any laws. So he set about acquiring a company called Trustor, and I certainly can't explain this now, but the idea was that he was going to acquire Trustor with its own money. Okay, and the whole thing was going to look legit when you just examined the books. So that was his idea. And he succeeded. He managed to acquire control of this company. And to do this, he needed a few other people to work alongside him. So he put together a crew. And some of them really knew exactly how big this scam was, and some of them didn't really know it. One person who was central to his plans was a British lord, apparently the black sheep of the famous Guinness family, the Guinness stout beverage family. And he needed money. And so he got involved in this, and he gave them sort of a legitimate face in England, where they pulled off some of their scam transactions. So he was one person in it, and then a few other people. And again, they all had various degrees of understanding about what they were really involved in, but they all helped Joachim Posner pull off this tremendous scam. So the idea when you decide you're going to do something so that you won't technically be violating any laws is tricky because, as I think we all know, laws can be interpreted different ways, and it's very easy to get caught, especially when you're doing a hugely complicated bunch of financial transactions. And sure enough, this one went bad too in just a few months. One of the reasons I'll mention, and this is sort of amusing in the film, that it went bad is that instead of taking the gigantic amounts of money that this small crew of people had gotten under their control, instead of laying low and being subtle about things, some of the men, they're all men, went out and caroused and rented phenomenally expensive yachts and rented helicopters to go 500 feet from the yacht to the shore. And they bought champagne and poured it all over themselves. And they did loony things like this, going into a store and buying everything in the store and then buying all the fixtures in the store. And obviously, they called attention to themselves. And the authorities got very interested. And again, the whole thing went very, very south. Joaquin Posner ends up living for a very, very long time in a slum in South America so that nobody will find him. He has plastic surgery, he has a different name, all of this stuff. So all of that is what Inside the Trust Door Scandal is about. The scam itself was pretty complicated. And again, there's all these subtitles to deal with if you are not a Swedish speaker. I found the movie quite fascinating to look at. You really have to concentrate. You really have to focus. But I've been looking at a bunch of Netflix true crime documentaries lately. And this one is a true crime documentary in a very big way. It's very true. The crime was gigantic. And I guess it's a happy thing that in the end, the people did get caught. Although actually none of them suffered very much, except Joaquin Posner, who lived in that slum for quite a number of years. Joaquin Posner stayed underground for a very long time, and the first part of Inside the Trust Door Scandal shows how the filmmaker got his trust and then eventually got him to actually show himself and speak on camera. And that's a little sort of a subplot in the movie that's sort of fun to watch too. So if you're interested in financial scams, you might look at Inside the Trust Door Scandal. It might convince you to never try to pull one off. So that is my partly financial story this week.
For which we thank you, as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films The Isolate Thief, Night Nurse, and Inside the Trust Door Scandal.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.